Good morning. Can everyone hear me? Okay. I don't know. Half the time these things don't work, so I always have to check. but it's truly a blessing to be back here at Emmanuel. As most of you know, I'm part of the Hmong Baptist Church that used to meet here, and I actually grew up going to this church since 1997. When my family moved to Rochester. This feels like home to me, to be back here and to see the building and to see all your faces. Even though we never got to hang out that much, it was always good to see you in the hallways and to run into you whenever we had events. But I feel privileged to be here today, to give the word today. So Leo approached me a couple weeks ago and asked me if I would participate in your sermon series. So I understand that you guys have been going through Exodus, right? So Exodus, obviously it's not an easy book to read and to study. And I'm glad that that Pastor Leo took some of the harder passages. So, and unfortunately, I wasn't here for some of those, so I apologize that I don't know what you guys have been studying so far, but we're going to be in Exodus chapter 23 today. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Exodus chapter 23. Just a little bit about myself. Like I said, I grew up here in Rochester, went to Hmong Baptist Church, and now we're in Eota. So one of my highlights of today was driving 10 minutes to church instead of 30 minutes to church. So it's a little bit farther, but it's always good to be with God's people every Sunday, no matter the distance. Right now I also work at the Minnesota Wisconsin Baptist Convention Office with Steve Melvin, Steve Dias, and others. And so my role over there is intercultural catalyst. So that just means I try to help bridge cultures. So I don't understand or know every culture in the world, but I hope that I can help every culture build bridges between cultures so that we can better understand each other and ultimately to serve the Lord together. Whether we are from a different country or we speak a different language, I believe that the gospel transcends culture, and that we can come together regardless of our background, and we can still praise God and proclaim the gospel together. So that's part of my work. But we're going to come back to scriptures, to our passage today, Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 to 19. Okay. So before we go into the scriptures, let me just begin by talking a little bit about what this passage is about today. So it's about the Sabbath, okay? So this passage is about the Sabbath and a couple festivals. And when I was studying this passage, I was going to go into a different direction. Because Sabbath, when we think of the Sabbath, we think about resting. But then as I studied more and more, I realized that the Sabbath is more than just rest or taking a break. It's more than just an activity that we do on Sunday. So my mindset started changing as I studied, and I realized that we live in a time and age where we don't take the Sabbath as seriously as we should, you know. Or as seriously as the Israelites, the ancient Israelites did. Sometimes it feels like Sunday is just another day of the week. I don't know about you guys, but I see people working on Sunday. I see people not going to church on Sunday and doing other things on Sunday. Everything else besides worshiping God and going to church. And so we live in a society that doesn't value the Sabbath as much anymore. Yeah. And so that's where this scripture, I believe, is so relevant to us. It's to bring us back to understanding the true meaning of the Sabbath. Yeah. And why do we go to church on Sunday? And why do we worship on Sunday? I mean, there are so many things we could be doing. And in fact, when I was a church planter in the Twin Cities, one of the reasons why some of our church members, their family members couldn't come to church was because they had something else to do on Sunday. And one of those reasons was fishing. Okay. So Sunday was a good fishing day. And so fishing was one. And then another reason why people weren't coming to church was that they didn't want to miss the Vikings game that was going to come on like fairly soon, right? And so they didn't want to miss the Vikings game, so they couldn't come to church. So there are a lot of things that we do on Sunday now that that we do that isn't what God wants us to do on the Sabbath. I just want us to talk a little bit about what God intends for the Sabbath. And it doesn't mean that this is all we do on the Sabbath, on Sunday, but this is what the scripture talks about when it talks about the Sabbath. So if you have your scriptures open, let's look at verses 19 to chapter 23, verse 10 to verse 19. It would help if I was also on that page. verse 10, sow your land for 6 years and gather its produce. But during the seventh year, you are to let it rest and leave it uncultivated so that the poor among your people may eat from it and the wild animals may consume what they leave. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. Do your work for 6 days, but rest on the seventh day so that your ox and your donkey may rest and the son of your female slave as well as the resident alien may be refreshed. Okay. Pay strict attention to everything I have said to you. You must not invoke the names of other gods. They must not be heard on your lips. Celebrate a festival in my honor 3 times a year. Observe the festival of unleavened bread. As I commanded you, you are to eat unleavened bread for 7 days at the appointed time in the month of Abib, because you came out of Egypt in that month. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Okay. Also, observe the festival of harvest with the first fruits of your produce from what you sow in the field, and observe the festival of ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather your produce from the field. 3 times a year, all your males are to appear before the Lord God. You must not offer the blood of my sacrifices with anything leavened. The fat of my festival offering must not remain until morning. Bring the best of the first fruits of your land to the house of the Lord your God. And finally, you must not boil a young goat in his mother's milk. Okay. And with that, let's go to prayer. Father God, we just want to give this time to you. We ask you to give us wisdom as we study your word. May you help us to understand and to apply this, your living word to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, when I first started studying this, I wanted to take my pen and just cross out that last line. You must not boil a young goat in its mother's milk, because that's just really weird. as is a lot of things, a lot of things we read about in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And the reason that it's kind of weird is because it was written in a certain context, and so we have to understand the background information as to why they shouldn't boil young goats in their mother's milk. And even today, strict Jews, when they practice this verse, they interpret it to mean that you can't eat meat with cheese, because there's a risk of you eating a mother animal with its or there's a risk that you're eating a young animal with cheese taken from its mother's milk. Okay. And so strict Jews, they won't eat meat with cheese. In other words, they can't have cheeseburgers. Okay. So if you're a strict practicing Jews, you can't have a cheeseburger at McDonald's or wherever you go, or even pizza. You can't have pizza anymore because there's cheese and meat together. Okay. And so that's one way that people have interpreted this line over the years. But as I was studying and doing some research, I found that a lot of scholars actually agree that a lot of what Moses wrote and what wrote down and what God instructed the Israelites on, all these things were to set them or to make them different from the pagans around them. To set them apart. Okay. Another word for to set apart is holy, right? The word holy means to be set apart. And so really, it's about being set apart, to be holy as God is holy. Okay. Leviticus chapter 19 says that, you know, we ought to be holy as our Lord God is holy. Yeah. And so it's all in the context of being set apart, to be different from the world. The pagans who are practicing these rituals. And so there were pagans at the time who were boiling young goats in their mother's milk. And for very bizarre reasons. You know, they're doing really, maybe really gross and nasty things. And so God was saying, no, I don't want my people to be like the world. Right? God's people should be different. You know, God's people should be holy as God is holy. And so God is training the Israelites, because they were in Egypt for so long. And so now they're free and they're going to the promised land. And so Exodus and the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bibles, are these instructions that God is giving to the Israelites to show them how to be holy, to set themselves apart from the pagans, in order to be a light to the nations. Okay? Because if we look like the world around us, then they're not going to know the difference. No, they're not going to know if God is in us if we look like the world. Right? Like if we, instead of being at church Sunday morning, if we're out fishing with our buddies, how are they going to know that we're different, that we have God in us? If we're not worshiping God, if we're not praying to God, how is the world going to see God in us? Yeah. And I think that's the point of this passage, is how can we be different on the Sabbath? How can we be different on Sunday so that the world will see the light of Christ? Okay. And so that's why we're learning about the Sabbath today. The initial command to observe the Sabbath actually comes from Exodus chapter 20, which is where God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses. And let me just read that really quick for us to give us some more context for our passage today. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, or the resident alien who is within your gates, your city gates, for the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. Okay. So here we see clearly that the focus on the Sabbath or the day of rest is to keep it holy. So how do we keep the Sabbath holy? So that's what I want us to think about today. But before we can talk about resting, because the word Sabbath actually it comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to rest. And so the Sabbath is about resting. But before we talk about rest, let's talk about work. Okay. Because we can't, rest only makes sense, when it's in the context of work. Because if we're not working, then we don't really need to rest. But if we're working, then, it's important for us to rest. And that's exactly, the model that we see from scriptures. Okay. So I'm not here to tell us today not to work, because the Bible actually talks a lot about working. In fact, from the very beginning, God instructed Adam and Eve to work. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, even though God had created this beautiful Garden of Eden that provided all the food and everything that they needed to survive, God instructed them to work. Okay. If we look back at Genesis chapter 2 really quick, verse 15, it says that, "Now the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it." Okay. So even in this paradise, there's work to be done. Okay. So we see that that God's designed. When God created humanity, God designed us to work. Yeah. And if we go to the New Testament, the New Testament also talks about work. If we look in 2 Thessalonians, Paul talks about working. And Paul actually has some pretty harsh words for people who are idle or lazy. Paul says that those who are not willing to work should not eat. Okay. Now, if that was the rule in my house, my daughter would starve, right? Or a lot of people would starve. But the reason I bring these verses up is just to show that no, God takes work seriously, and God wants us to work. And even in our passage today, in verse 10 to verse 12, God talks about working. No, sow the land for 6 years, okay? Work for 6 years on the land. Do your work for 6 days. Okay. So it's not against working. Okay. So a lot of times, when I think about the Sabbath, I start thinking that it's just about resting, and we need to rest more. But it's a contrast to the work. We don't have to choose between rest and work. We have to do both. Okay, we have to do both. But the focus today is on rest, and the reason that I think this is a good passage for us in our world today is because we don't rest enough. Okay. I think a lot of us got the work part, and we work well, we work hard, but we don't rest enough. We have mortgages. No, we have rent to pay. We have car payments. We have credit cards. Yeah. So we have to work to pay these things off. And so working is something that comes naturally to us. We're always working, but we don't find enough time to rest. And when we rest, we need to really rest. A lot of us, when we rest, we're not really resting. We're just taking a break until our next work assignment. Right? My friend who is a therapist, he said to me that when you go on vacation, you have to be very careful. Okay. You have to be very careful when you're on vacation, because if you're on vacation and you're thinking about work, okay, then you've wasted your entire vacation. Okay. So does that make sense? So imagine you're in the Bahamas. You're on vacation in the Bahamas on the beach, soaking the sun. But if you're laying there on the beach and you're thinking about the proposal that you have to finish the week that you get back from vacation at work, then your mind is still working. Yeah. And so if your mind is still working, then you're not really on vacation. Yeah. And so that whole week, you know, you're not really resting. And your body might be physically, you know, away from work. Your mind is still working. And so you're not, you're not really energized, you know. If your mind is constantly working, you won't find any energy. Your body is not being revitalized or re-energized. And so when God tells us to rest on the Sabbath, we need to really rest. Yeah. In fact, when God created the world, we just read about how when God created the world, He chose to rest on the Sabbath, on the seventh day. He created the world in 6 days, and He rested on the seventh day. Yeah. Now, if you really think about it, does God really need to rest? Okay. So God, you know, the all-powerful God, creator of the universe, does He really need to rest? After He created the world in 6 days, was he exhausted? Was God exhausted after creating the world in 6 days? No, probably not, right? No, God, the God of the universe, is all powerful. He doesn't need to rest. But I believe that God chose to rest, yeah, on the seventh day, so that He can model for us rest, how to rest, right? It's actually a really good model of a healthy work-life balance. And a lot of us these days, we don't have a healthy work-life balance. And we're working and working and working, but we're not really finding time to rest and to truly rest. And it's not just about taking a break. It's about coming to God. The Sabbath is about coming to God and resting in God and allowing God to fill us, to re-energize us. And in fact, there's a difference between the people who are working constantly and people who take time to rest. And let me tell us a little story about the Hmong people in Vietnam. So in Vietnam, the Hmong people are coming to Christ in great numbers. And previously, Hmong people are shamanistic, and so we worship the ancestors and we perform rituals to the ancestors. But when the Hmong people started coming to Christ and converting to Christianity, we started learning about the Sabbath and observing the Sabbath. And so in Vietnam, most Hmong people are farmers, and before they became Christian, they would work 7 days a week. Especially if you're a farmer, your schedule revolves around the weather. It doesn't really revolve around a modern work schedule like we have here in the United States. If you're a farmer, your schedule revolves around the weather. So if you wake up and it's raining outside, then you take that day off. At least among the Hmong in Vietnam. Okay. And if you wake up and it's a it's a sunny day and the weather's nice, then you go and you work in the fields. Okay. And so even if it's a Sunday and you wake up and it's sunny, then you're supposed to go work in the fields. Okay. And so for a long time, that's what Hmong people did. Their schedule was based on the weather, and it didn't matter if it was Sunday or if it was Monday. And so when Hmong people started converting to Christianity, they started taking Sundays off. Okay, so the Hmong Christians started taking Sundays off, and they stopped working in the fields on Sunday. Now the non-believers, when they noticed that the Christians were taking a day off, even though it was a really good day to go work in the fields, they weren't working in the fields, and so they were really confused, and they actually started ridiculing the Christians, the believers, and saying to them, "No, you guys are lazy. Okay? You guys are lazy. This is a great day to go work, and you guys are inside doing other things. Man, you guys are lazy people." And so Christians started getting a reputation for being lazy because they were taking a day off. But eventually, however, they started noticing that even though the Christians, they took Sunday off, their productivity, the output of all their productivity was the same as those who worked 7 days a week. Yeah. Yeah. So if you work 6 days a week and you take the Sunday off, your productivity was the same as somebody who worked 7 days a week. Okay. That's what they were noticing. And so eventually the non-believers, they started questioning again, saying, "Wow, we're working harder than the Christians, but we're only getting the same amount of harvest. We're only reaping the same amount of rice and grains and vegetables. So what is going on here?" Right. And honestly, I don't have a scientific explanation, and I'm not a farmer, so I don't know how agriculture works. But I believe that it's by design, right? Like God designed it this way, so that we would take a day off, so that we would have a day of rest. As the Bible clearly says here in our passage today, you know, work for 6 days, but rest on the seventh day. Yeah. And so if we don't rest on the seventh day, if we continue working through the Sabbath, our productivity is still going to be the same as working six days a week, right? And so I think one thing I realized after reading this or studying this God's Word is that we have to re-examine ourselves and really think about our work-life balance. But most of all, and I think the passage is leading up to, if we go to verse 14, it says, "To celebrate a festival in my honor 3 times a year." In my honor, in God's honor. Okay. And so here we see the point of the Sabbath. It's more than just resting. It's more than just taking a break. But it's to honor God. Okay. And so if we're missing the honor piece, then we're not doing what God wants us to do. And our life becomes unbalanced. And we lose the opportunity to be refreshed and to be revitalized by God. So what does it mean to honor God? And what does it mean to celebrate the Sabbath? Well, I think I think we give honor to God when we come together as God's people, as God instructed, even in the ancient times, you know, for God's people to take one day to come together to worship God as a family, as a fellowship, and to teach each other, you know, to pray with each other, to pray for those who are not able to come, to those who are sick, pray for those who are sick, and those who are struggling. We come together and we pray, we sing, and we serve each other at church. Okay. So all these things are things that we see that God instructs His people to do, to serve each other on this day and to give God praise. When we do all these things, we give honor to God. And furthermore, in verse 19, the Bible also says that we ought to bring the best of the first fruits of your land to the house of the Lord your God. Okay. And so this verse is in the context of an agricultural society like the Israelites. To bring the best of the first fruits of the land. But for us, when we apply this to us today, well, we ought to bring our very best to God every Sunday, yeah. Whatever that is. You know, whether it's through our finances, whether it's through our talents and our gifts, we ought to bring our best to God every Sabbath. And when we come together on the Sabbath, we should come together in celebration. You know, we should celebrate God and celebrate all that God has done for us. It's very interesting that, you know, God instructs the Israelites in all these very minute detail of celebrating and worshiping. And sometimes we wonder, like, why? Why is God so interested in the detail of worship? And the reason that, you know, it's so detailed in scriptures is because it's so important for us to take time to celebrate and to do these things in worship. And it's very easy for us if we don't practice these, we don't practice worshiping and fellowshipping and celebrating together, it's very easy to lose focus and to start being like the world, right? I mean, for most of us, I mean, we work hard, you know, we work hard during the week, and so Sunday, for a lot of people, for the world, Sunday is just a time to take a break and to enjoy all the other things that they couldn't enjoy during the week. But for Christians, for us, we come together on the Sabbath so that we can be with God. And when we come together and we worship God and we celebrate the Sabbath together, we are able to receive God's blessings. And we are re-energized, we are revitalized. And we are healed. And so my challenge for you and I, for all of us as believers in Christ, is to think about, you know, how can we celebrate the Sabbath in a way that's meaningful, in a way that will show to others that we have God in us, that we are truly God's people, that we are truly set apart, that we are truly holy as God is holy. Okay. Does our church Does our church show our community that we are different, that we are fulfilled, that we are that we have life and energy? Well, we just like the rest of the world. And as I was reflecting on this passage, one word that kept coming back to my mind was God's peace. Okay. When we take time to be with God, like we do today on the Sabbath, we have God's peace. God's, the Hebrew word is shalom. We have God's shalom. And it's so important for us every week to spend time with God so that we can enter into God's peace. And we can have God's peace in us to revitalize us for another week. Okay. Now, I don't know about you guys, but it's rough out there sometimes, especially with the snow, right? It's rough out there, but we need to come back together and be together in God's peace and to encourage each other. I know that a couple of weeks ago when it was snowing and my daughter was sick and my wife was sick and then I got sick and I got to a point where I felt like I just wanted to give up. Like I couldn't take this anymore. And those are the times when we need God's peace the most. And the Sabbath is a time for us to come back together and to enter into God's peace. And that time when my family was going through that struggle, you know, it was a blessing to be able to go to church, you know, and to be able to worship with God's people, you know, and to have somebody else encourage me that I'm not the only person who has to take on this burden by myself, you know, but that I can be encouraged by the worship leader, you know, by the worship team. Even today, I was encouraged by the worship team. And to have somebody else at church serve my daughter, and to take care of my daughter, to give me a chance to be at peace. You know. And I think this is all of these things that we do on the Sabbath, that we do in church, sometimes we take for granted. Yeah. And so I really just want us to think about what we have as a church. You know. And why we're not out ice fishing right now, or we're not at home waiting for another sports game to come on, or we're not doing something else. Why this time on Sunday morning is so important for us, and why God specifically tells us to take time to rest and to come together, because it's so important for our health, and not just our physical health, but our spiritual health. To get that connection, to reconnect with God, and to come, to be revitalized and to be encouraged. Yeah. And all these things we do in church, we can't take for granted. Yeah. And if we have forgotten to celebrate or to honor God, we need to bring back some of those things that we do here at church so that we can give God all the honor and all the glory and all the praise so that we can be at peace. Okay. So that church is not just another routine. Yeah. It's not just an optional social event that we go to, like a concert. The scriptures doesn't see the Sabbath as just another event. No. It's an opportunity. You know. Sabbath is an opportunity for us to come together, to fellowship, to worship, to praise God, give God honor, give Him the glory that He's due. And when we do all these things, I truly believe that our life will become more balanced. Yeah. And we will be more fulfilled. Yeah. And we will receive all the blessings that God's people, the Israelites, received when they practiced the Sabbath. Yeah. And when they become a holy people unto God, when they become set apart and different from the world around them, I truly believe that when we become holy unto God and we're set apart from the world, from the community, then we can truly be blessed and be fulfilled and receive God's peace. And so the Sabbath is a time for us to come together, to worship together, to honor God, and to bring our best. And when we come together and we honor God, we worship God, it brings us into right relationship with God. It also brings us into right relationship with each other. The Bible talks about the poor, right? The Sabbath was an important time for the poor. It's an opportunity for us to be in right relationship with those who are less fortunate than us, you know, to think about those and to take care of those who are less fortunate than us. And most of all, it's also a time for us to receive God's peace into our lives. And so, my prayer for us today is that we may keep the Sabbath holy, and we will, so that we can set ourselves apart from the world in order to show God's glory to the world and be a light to the world. So may God's word bless everyone today. And that's God's word for us today. Yeah. Thank you.